This story is of such importance that it deserves to be fully told. And it has great energy in it for the transformation of congregations. So it's fully appropriate that this whole story be told, and to make then Pentecost a major festival of storytelling, of the remembrance of God's deed of power in the establishment of the church. The structure of this story. This is a long story, primarily because of Peter's speech, but it needs to be heard as a whole, rather than cut in half or, you know, a third, as is usually done, leaving out Peter's speech. Because without Peter's speech, the event of Pentecost really doesn't have the impact that is appropriate to the story. And as it is told in Acts, Pentecost is a prelude to the conversion of the people of Jerusalem. And so this is really the birthday of the church, because it is the day when they had significant numbers for the first time. So I would strongly recommend that you tell this whole story. This is a day like Easter or Good Friday, when we tell a long story. And so it's fully appropriate on Pentecost for us to remember this whole event. Now, the structure of this story is relatively easy to identify once you ask the question, what's the structure of the story? So the first part is the event of the divided tongues and the gift of other languages. That's the focus, is the gift of other languages. And that's how they are empowered, is to speak in the native language of all the languages of the whole region of the ancient Near East. And that list is given in the third episode, which is a kind of tour of the ancient Near East. And it ends with, what does this mean? And then others say, it doesn't mean anything. They're just drunk with new wine. So then Peter describes what it means. What this gift of languages means is, first, that this is what was promised by the prophet Joel. It's the fulfillment of prophecy. It's the sign that this is the time of the dawning of the new age of the kingdom of God. And the sign of that is the resurrection of Jesus. The second set of arguments that, so then after the quotation of Joel, Peter tells the story of what happened, that Jesus was attested as the Messiah, and then was crucified, and God raised him up. So it's a summary of the story of the gospel. Then there is a proof of this, a sign of this, by Peter's connecting this event with the Psalms of David interpreted as prophecies. So the first is David's psalm, his song, that says, "You will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption." And that's the key connection. So it's the Holy One see corruption that is the promise that is then fulfilled. And that's the argument, that David saw this. He prophesied. But it was not about himself, because he died. His tomb is with us to this day. Rather, he was speaking about the resurrection of the Messiah. He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. And then he repeats again the story. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. And so the interpretation of what this means is then, being exalted at the right hand of God, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. Then another quotation of David in relation to the ascension. That is, that David also prophesied the ascension. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Another's song of David. This is then seen as a prophecy of the Lord God saying to my Lord, the Messiah, sit at my right hand. So clearly this was not David that he was prophesying about. Rather, it was my Lord, the Messiah, who's sitting at the right hand of God and therefore has ascended into heaven. And that is the fulfillment of the prophecy that David made. So on the basis of that argument, that citation, that amazing connection between David's songs and these events, he then states with certainty, God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus, whom you crucified. And that's the end of Peter's speech. The last part of the story is then the responses of those who were there. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Brothers, what shall we do? And so Peter recommends that they be baptized. And so they were. That day, about 3,000 persons were baptized. And then the conclusion of the story is the description of the community and of what they did and of the wonderful things that happened in the formation of the community in Jerusalem. So that's a little outline of the story. If you pay attention to that structure, it makes it a lot easier to learn because then you can see what it is that is happening, and that also helps in relation to the recital of the story because you can identify the dynamics of what's going on and how the argument that Peter is developing in this speech makes sense. Now, the basic dynamic of this story is a retelling of the story of Jesus. And it is told in relation to the experience and hopes of the people of Israel for a Messiah, for which they had been hoping since the time of David. So who was the Messiah? The Messiah was to be David's son. And so the citation of all these things from David is then that David, 900 years before Jesus, foresaw these things. It's actually nearly 1,000 years. What Peter is arguing is that this is an amazing development, that finally, after all those years, a son of David has come, an anointed one, who is appointed as both Lord, that is, Kurios, and Mashiach. Now, what's going on in this is not the rhetoric of blame. What Peter states in regard to the crucifixion of the Messiah is implication of being involved in a truly horrendous act. That is, that the one for whom they've been waiting for 1,000 years has come and we were implicated in and had a major role in having him crucified. So being cut to the heart is a recognition of grief and guilt, of being liable to judgment by God. So in terms of why one needs to be saved, one needs to be saved from being judged by God for this horrendous act in which we as a people have been involved. And the repentance then is of turning around, of changing our minds in relation to Jesus, and of being baptized, so that the sins that we have committed, most strikingly the sin in regard to Jesus' death, is forgiven. So it is a baptism into the new age of the Messiah. It is a baptism of cleansing in relation to the rejection of Jesus as Messiah, and it is the promise of the future of this new age. So this story is a truly transformational story that involves a retelling of the story of the Gospels, but now in a very different way, by connecting the events of Jesus' death and resurrection explicitly with these somewhat puzzling quotations from David, which are seen as prophecies of what has now happened. And the fact that those connections exist is itself, for people who heard this speech originally, that was a very, very powerful argument for the Messiahship of Jesus. So this is a story that is wonderful to learn and to tell. And so maximum encouragement to do the hard work that is involved in learning this story. At the core of this story is the characterization of Peter. That is, most of this story is Peter's speech. And so part of what you have to find in this is Peter's energy. Now this is, in the stories of Luke Acts, this is really Peter's first speech. He suddenly becomes, you know, a great speaker, having been one who was uncertain, who, you know, was highly emotional, who responded in a variety of ways, including running away. And so what is present here is a transformation of Peter's character and his sudden discovery that he could speak. So this is his first significant speech ever. And it is an amazing speech. But part of what you have to discover in order to tell this story is, you know, what Peter was like. Now, sometimes I've told it with him being, you know, somewhat hesitating at the beginning of it, you know, being uncertain. It's like one who's, you know, learning to speak. And you may find that that is helpful in relation to identifying Peter's character. The more I've done it, the more it seems to me that in terms of how it was originally done, that there really isn't much hesitation here, that this is just a transformation that has happened. But pay attention and work on discovering Peter's voice. So have fun telling this story.